This is Callie Struve with the HCP Marionette Online, and today we are here with Gary McManus, an associate state climatologist with the Oklahoma Climate Survey.
How do the Oklahoma summers of 2011 and 2012 compare?
Well, of course, you know, 2011 ended up being the hottest summer for any state in history. That's the Oklahoma summer of 2011. So if you look at a statewide average on that basis, with records dating back to 1895 across the United States, Oklahoma's summer, that's June, July, and August averaged together, that was the hottest summer ever for any state for any year.
Wow.
Now, 2011 was significantly hot as well, as we all know that live here.
Yeah.
But when we try and compare it to 2011, it's a little bit unfair because, again, that was the hottest summer on record. But by its own right, 2012 was a brutal summer as well. It was one of the top 10 hottest summers on record.
Yeah.
It was around 10. It's probably 10 to 12. We're still looking at the statistics. So it was extremely hot. It wasn't hot the same way as 2011 was. 2011 was hot from June 1st all the way through the end of August. 2012 had sort of different periods when it was extremely hot, but also when it got sort of mild as well. So it was two different summers, and that was really based on two different types of droughts as well.
Well, and it felt like 2012 had maybe more rain than 2011. Is that?
Yeah, it did rain more during 2012. It rained off and on. We had that period there. From late June all the way through early August where it hardly rained at all. But one of the biggest differences between 2011 and 2012 was the drought of 2011 started about October 2010, and it lasted all the way through the next September. So that drought had a lot of time to work with and build up that summer heat right when
we
ended June.
Yeah,
now this last year, 2012, the drought really started as we got into late spring, into April and May. And so the drought and the heat had a little less time to work with. But when that drought did start, when we got into June and into July, especially into early August, that heat really started to build, just like the previous summer. It wasn't as persistent as the previous year.
And then what do you think about climate change in terms of how it's affecting Oklahoma weather patterns?
Well, it's hard to determine what the climate change is doing to Oklahoma. Of course, we know that climate is always changing. What you're really talking about is the warming of the globe, as it's been going on over the last 100 years or so, that slow warming of the globe on average. What's it do to regional weather? So not just Oklahoma, but smaller areas across the world.
Yeah.
It's still pretty hard to determine. One of the things that, you know, is the scientists across the world continue to study, they see things like heat waves starting to increase. They've been increasing and they're continuing to increase, and that's definitely something that we've seen here the last couple of years. But also droughts have started to become a little bit more severe, a little bit more intense. Now, it's hard to determine, when we're talking climatology, what just 2 years in a row would mean. That's not really something we would say that's definitely because of something just yet, because we want to look at long-term trends when we get into climatology, more 10, 20, 30-year type periods.
Yeah.
So the last couple of years, while they definitely have been hotter than our previous summers as we've gone back in time, they're not the only hot summers we've had in Oklahoma. We've had the 1930s. That were several, you know, 5 to 10 hot summers in a row. We've had the 1950s. When we look back at those periods, we say those were really because of the drought periods that we were experiencing at that time. So, you know, we're not ready to say this is explicitly because of climate change just yet, but it is something that we are, you know, starting to think, you know, is this starting to give us more droughts? Will that give us more heat as well?
I wanted to ask you about our winter and what you think is going to be in store for us this winter. Because, I mean, the last couple of years we've had everything from ice storms to just, you know, one day of snow. So.
Right. It has been very highly variable, as Oklahoma usually is, not just, you know, in the spring and fall, but also in the summers and the winters. The winter of 2010-2011 was our cold winter with lots of snow. A lot of snowfall records were set. Last winter we had hardly any snow at all, and really across the eastern two-thirds of the United States there was very little snow this last cool season, 2011-2012. So when we look into the future, it's really kind of hard to determine what we're going to have. We look at the type of climate scenarios that build up and what might give us a clue. The last couple of years, we've had La Nina in place. And that has given us a little bit drier than normal winters over the last couple of winters. Well, this last winter, of course, was pretty wet, but it was really warm. The winter before that was pretty cool, but it was also pretty dry. So we have a mixed bag there with the La Niñas. This year, we're sort of heading out of La Niña into uncharted territory. So the thought is maybe we'll be a little bit closer to normal, or maybe even cooler than normal, a little bit closer to normal in precipitation as well. But, you know, when we look at these types of things, we look at the long-range forecasts, it really is very difficult to determine what sort of winter we're going to have. It's really just going to be, when we look at it truthfully, we'll know what we're going to have when it gets here.
Right.
Because there are no large-scale climate factors that we're seeing right now that are going to determine what our winter's going to be like.
And then what is a La Nina or El Nino year for those? La Nina
and El Nino are two sides of a coin. It stands for the warming and the cooling of the oceanic waters off the Equator Pacific area of South America. So when the waters are warm down there, that's a La Nina, or that's an El Nino. When the waters are cooler than normal down there, that's a La Nina. And, of course, when it's sort of normal, it's called ENSO neutral. So it's all entwined in this larger scale phenomenon known as El Nino Southern Oscillation, because it does oscillate back and forth between La Nina and El Nino. When we have La Nina, again, the cooling of the waters down there, it disrupts the air patterns across the globe. One of the things it does for our part of the world in the United States, especially in the southern one-third of the United States, is it gives us a little bit increased chances of below normal precipitation and above normal temperatures during the cool season. We're talking basically October through March or April. Now, when we have El Nino, the warming of the waters down there off the west coast of South America, that can mean, on average, for the southern United States, cooler than normal weather during the cool season, and also wetter than normal. Now, the big caveat to all this is that it doesn't always work that way. It's just looking over, again, climatology over long periods of time. When we look at all those different types of scenarios, that's what it's done on average. Last year, this last winter, we had, again, a La Nina, the second one in a row, and it provided us with a very warm winter, but it also provided us with a very wet winter, which is not really expected. So again, they don't always work the way they're supposed to. There are lots of other factors involved, other climate factors, other weather factors, that can change all of that and make it where it's not following the script that it's supposed to.
All right, well, thank you.